Today on the podcast, I am chatting with a dear friend, Nathaniel Tri, who is an Australian yogi who has been living and teaching yoga in Thailand for almost a decade. Nat is especially passionate about helping children and modern men to embrace this life-changing practice. Nat has completed adult teacher training and advanced teacher trainings, as well as children's teacher training courses. He is the creator of Essential Yoga for Kids and Yoga for Modern Men. In this episode, we dive into all things children's yoga, and Nat gives us a little breathwork exercise that you can implement today. There's a little discount code for Nat's course. Actually, it's a big discount code, so listen in to the end and we'll put it in the show notes if you want to take advantage of the discount code for Nat's Essential Yoga for Kids course. Let's dive in and talk children's yoga with Nathaniel Tri. A space for conversation around women's health through the lens of naturopathic and Eastern medicine. I am Sandy Ross, and this is Her Earth Medicine Podcast. This podcast is multi-leveled. Episodes for patient education to graduate practitioner level. Thank you for tuning in, and I hope you gain value from this episode. Welcome to the Her Earth Medicine Podcast, Nathaniel Tri.
Thanks for having me, Sandy. Great to catch up.
It's so good to catch up. So Nat and I are actually old yogi friends from, I think, back in like 2012, 2013 sort of times. We actually both crossed paths in Bangkok, but Nat might chat a little bit about that. So I'm really happy to have him come onto the podcast, and we're going to be talking about the benefits of yoga for children, which I think is so important to bring up. So Nat, can you maybe run us through and tell us a little bit about your journey and how you kind of got into yoga for yourself, and then maybe talk about how you got into yoga for children?
Yeah, sure. So for myself, I started to practice yoga in 2011 when I was living in Canada, and I was 23 years old. And at the time when I started doing yoga, I was quite restless, and I had a lot of negative lifestyle habits, I suppose. And the way that I found yoga was actually lucky that I got a job at the largest yoga studio in Canada as a shift supervisor there, so I could just start to practice for free. So that was a very easy way that I got into it, and I started to notice immediately the benefits that I felt more calm and more positive and more energized and just sort of more present in my life. And it started to, I hadn't really had any problems with my body before, but I hadn't really taken much care of my body either. I just sort of had played sports and done music and stuff, but I hadn't done much fitness at that time. So I started to notice I felt better in my body as well. So that's how I first got into yoga. And then I guess I did my first teacher training course in 2012 when I came out to Thailand. And then my first kids teacher training course about a year after that when I started living in Bangkok. And I saw something advertised that they were looking for children's yoga teachers. And I thought, oh, I haven't taught kids yoga yet, but I love kids. I love sort of the idea of helping kids. And then did my first teacher training course for kids, and then started teaching in the international schools here in Bangkok in 2013 for kids, and I've been doing that off and on and in different ways since then.
Yeah, so it's something that I think not many people think about for their children. And I mean, a lot of, I guess, women are really into yoga for themselves, you know, small amount of men do yoga, but we don't really consider it as like an essential thing to do for our children. You know, kids are pretty flexible anyway. Maybe the asana part isn't as important as the emphasis is on the asanas, you know, maybe as an adult. But can you maybe talk about like some of the benefits that you think children gain from practicing yoga?
Yeah, definitely. Well, yeah, like our kids, if you're thinking of very young kids, yeah, they are naturally flexible, but the way that they might lose their flexibility at a young age, even by the time they're 10 or so, would be just time spent sitting in chairs and in poor positions and not sort of moving around and using their flexibility and their range properly. And that's what I noticed with the kids who I work with who are a little bit older, like 10, 11, 12, when they're not very flexible, it's because of their lifestyle habits that have already affected them in their first sort of 10 years. So I wouldn't immediately say that kids need yoga to develop flexibility, but more just to maintain flexibility. That's one thing. So if we think about the physical benefits for children, I'd say coordination, balance, developing stability and strength, you know, just sort of proper use of their limbs, proper use of their core. So that's more for the physical side of things. For like the energetic and emotional side of things, I think it can help kids with like learning to self-regulate their own emotions by being able to breathe in a calm way in a challenging situation. So that's one of the best ways for the energy and emotional side of things. And that's like a skill that I think a lot of adults haven't even really developed. When they get into challenging situations, they find that they're overwhelmed by emotions that they can't properly handle or process. And I think if we can start learning those skills early on in the way that we breathe and the way that we sort of process the emotions that are coming up by ourselves without projecting outwards what we're experiencing, then that can be a really invaluable skill for children to start to develop early on. And then more for the mental side of things, because I would say like the emotional energetic is probably a little bit different than the mental. For the mental, I'd say like yoga can help more with your focus and your concentration and sort of your clarity of mind and things like that. So there's lots of benefits for kids yoga. It depends how it's taught. So some people will teach it more as just like a fun and games type thing, which is okay. There's still going to be some benefit, but I really believe in teaching yoga for kids as like a life skill that can help them to grow into mindful young adults.
And I guess also, depending on the age of your child, it's going to change how you teach them as well. What age do you sort of work with, and what age do you recommend that, you know, kids start practicing yoga? Is it, you know, toddlers, or like you said, you're teaching a lot of 10-year-olds as well? Can you maybe walk us through the timeline on where to sort of add these practices into your children's life?
Yeah, I think like 3 or 4 years old is a good time to start. And when the kids are sort of between 3 to 5 or 6 years old, you can focus more just on sort of instruction, because I guess the way that they learn, they can't sort of understand as much what you want them to understand. But when they're at that young age, if you just sort of show them the techniques of how to move their body, how to do the breathing exercises. When I start to teach meditation, it's very simple. It's like sit still, try not to move, try to keep your eyes closed, try to count your breathing, because there has to be a mental point of focus for the very young kids, or they can't just focus on pure consciousness. It's too difficult. And then when they start to get to like 6, 7, 8, that's when they'll be a little bit more skeptical of what you're trying to teach them, I guess, because they're a bit more back-chatting and doubting, and they start to understand that they can have the power of choice in their lives, I guess. So when they're at that age, you kind of need a buy-in. So you need to sort of get them to agree with and understand the benefits of what they're doing. So it might be like, oh, do you ever feel pressure from being at school or from your family life, or do you ever feel stress, or like do you sort of like to use your body, and how does it feel when you play and move? So you need them to sort of get involved a little bit. And then from when they're like 9 to 12, usually depending on who they are and like their parental guidance and their schooling and stuff, usually from 9 to 12 they can start to accept the benefits of how yoga could help them, and they usually are more interested in being involved depending on what's going on. But those are the three sort of age categories, kind of like 3 to 5 or 6, and then 6 to 8 or so, and then 9 to 12, in the different ways that they can be receptive or not receptive towards the learning.
Can you maybe cover like how often kids need to practice yoga to receive benefits, and like is there a, you know, a particular time of day that you work with kids that they gain more benefit out of it?
Well, when I've worked in the international schools or when I've, like, taught kids sort of privately, it's usually in the afternoon at the end of their day. Sometimes I'll help kids on the weekends earlier in the morning. I find that both times are fine. It's just as you would know, like, in the afternoon, kids are going to be a little bit more tired and restless maybe because of what's happened at school throughout the day, but that's not always the case. Maybe they've had a big lunch or they've sat in class all day and they've still got a lot of energy. So for kids, I don't think it's as important as adults in regards to the timing that they practice. I think it's a good idea for kids, like if parents are interested in getting their kids into yoga, then sort of like once a week or twice a week with a teacher is probably enough. But then the main thing that I've focused on with kids, which I think is the same for adults, and I'm sure you'd agree as a fellow yoga practitioner, Sandy, is that like it's really about what you take away from what you learn from your teacher and how you integrate that into your life. So the main thing for me when I'm teaching kids yoga is that I want to try to focus on like short sequences for them of 5 or 10 minutes that they can start to remember, start to learn on their own, start to practice, or even just short sort of techniques that they can use, the breathing techniques or very short flows or sequences, so that they can start to use yoga and breathing exercises and meditation as like practical real life skills to help their quality of life. So I guess the point is once or twice a week in an extended way with a teacher, so they really start to see what's happening in a better way. And then if they can start to use the techniques daily and start to be encouraged by parents to use them daily in times of stress or in times when they've been sitting down a lot and they need to move around, or just when they're restless and they have nothing to do, then that's a great way for them to start to integrate the techniques and the teachings of yoga in a way that can help them long term.
Yeah, great. And, you know, more so is yoga needed for children than ever, I think, with all the lockdowns worldwide and homeschooling and so much sitting on chairs rather than like running around in playgrounds, being outdoors and, you know, actually burning off energy. You know, have you noticed a big shift with, you know, you've gone from being in schools and working in classes, and I think it's been locked down for quite some time over in Bangkok. Have you noticed like a bigger need and like a, I guess, more of a benefit to the yoga that you're actually implementing with your kids over in Bangkok at the moment?
Yeah, well, this year, unfortunately, I haven't been welcomed in any of the international schools because they all became very strict with letting our outside providers come in to teach the sessions during COVID due to their concerns over the health risk or whatever. But I've still been teaching some online group classes through just random Thai people who I know who run kids online summer camps and stuff like that. So the kids have been doing the sessions via Zoom in the family home, and they're as enthusiastic and they see the benefit as much as they would in a classroom environment, which is great, even though they're sitting at home in the family home and they don't have the other kids there with them. I've noticed that they've been as receptive, which is fantastic for me to see that they can, I guess, benefit and be as interested in learning yoga when they're at home on their own as they would be in the classroom with their friends. And then, I mean, that is through digital technology, of course, but I think, like, yeah, one of the great benefits of yoga once kids actually learn how to do it on their own or if they're doing it face-to-face with a teacher is that they get a break from the screen time. So I'm obviously not giving them that when I'm teaching them through the screen, but I think, you know, digital technology, for all of the bad things we can say about it, if we can use it in a positive and constructive way, it can be a very good tool. So it's not all negative. If they're going to be looking at their screens anyway, they may as well be sort of following and learning something positive that's going to help their quality of life. So, yeah, I think like the way that I've noticed, not just since COVID, but in the past sort of 5 or so years since even seeing the schools here becoming more dependent on digital technology and seeing people like ourselves, like we, even as early as 7 or 8, 9 years ago, we would sort of not be as attached to our phones as we are now. And now we don't even like use the phrase "be right back" anymore online because we're just always connected and looking at our phones. I think that's the problem, is that a lot of kids are the same. They're just constantly addicted and attached to their screens because that's how they've grown up, especially here in Bangkok, where a lot of the children that I work with are privileged international school kids, I suppose, who like they have access to these smartphone technologies, and like the sort of parents are trying to get them the best education, the best technology, so the kids sort of unfortunately are constantly attached because they have the means and the resources to be attached. But one of the points that are being missed is that like digital technology can have a negative or adverse impact on kids when they're spending too much time on there. So yoga can be a way that they can help to spend less time on there if they learn how to do it on their own, I suppose. And if not, then, as I said, through the screen, at least it's something a bit more positive than scrolling memes or playing games on our social media and stuff like that.
Yeah, so true. And, I mean, we only had a few lockdowns here, and I've got young kids, so they're not really on screens yet. I mean, Nala's six, but I don't really give her a screen. Sometimes I get to watch my phone. But, you know, we actually did some online yoga, thanks to you, throughout that time. And I found it so beneficial, just, you know, getting them to have that guided meditation or guided asana practice versus something that I can give them. And, you know, I even noticed that, you know, talking back to your teaching the kids to be able to do the yoga themselves, you know, a few days after that, they were actually doing some of the poses, because I haven't really done too much yoga with my kids, to be honest. They had a little bit, they've both gone to kindergarten 2 days a week, so they do it at kindy. But, you know, I haven't really seen them practice some of those poses at home. So I think what you're saying is educate the kids and get them to be able to do a few of these things in their own space and own time, away from screens, learn the breath, be more mindful. You know, these are some of the great benefits we can get from teaching yoga to children, especially, you know, as young as, what you're saying, 3 or 4.
Yeah, definitely. And that's great to hear that your kids were receptive towards it. Like, I think one of the things I've learned with teaching kids yoga is that, you know, repetition is important and keeping it simple is important. Like a lot of the ways, I shouldn't be critical of any efforts to teach yoga to kids, but I think if I could be critical towards one thing, it would be that a lot of times when it's taught to kids, it's just sort of shown as a game and maybe like a form of entertainment. But if you sort of explain to kids, hey, this can be something like it can really help you in life, and then you teach it to them in a very, very simple, very easy to digest way, they will start to notice the benefits and they will start using them on their own. I've even had, like, I can remember it just popped into my head, 1 8- or 9-year-old girl who I was teaching, who was obviously already at the, she was in an international school class, and she was already at the age of sort of being able to see the benefit for herself. She may have been 9 or 10, I'm not sure, but she was definitely under 10, and she came to class one day and said, like, Mr. Nat, last night I noticed my dad was stressed because he said he lost a lot of money in some big meeting, and I showed him some of the yoga you taught me, and he told me it helped very much and he felt more calm. And I'm like thinking, like, this is, you know, when you can get this information and knowledge to kids at a young age and they see the benefit, they can even help adults who have never been exposed to this or never seen the value in it. So yeah, it's really powerful stuff.
Yeah, that's so good. I wish my kids would get Jesse to do some of those yoga techniques at times. okay, Nat, so you're actually going to run us through a, I guess, mindfulness technique or a breathing exercise or something of your choice. So I just want to maybe let the listeners know that, you know, if you've got somewhere, or Nat, you can maybe talk about it. But basically, guys, now Nat is going to run us through some sort of mindfulness technique that you can actually implement with your own kids. So I'll let Nat guide this. But yeah, let's all do it, whoever's listening, if you have the space and the time.
Yeah, cool. So today I want to introduce you guys to a breathwork technique, which is called the balloon breath. Now, to give a little bit of an extra explanation about the purpose for breathing exercises and the benefit for breathing exercises that could be interesting and helpful for you as the adult and listener and for your children, is like when we get in times of stress, like if we've had too much coffee or we've been rushing around or, you know, something happened that rustled our feathers a little bit, we might put ourselves into the fight or flight function of our nervous system, where we're breathing in a shallow way that doesn't really promote inner calm or doesn't really energize us properly, and we can't even think clearly in this time when we're in a fight or flight state. So it can be very helpful for us by using breathing exercises to learn how to put ourselves into more of a rest and relaxation state. And this is more like the state that we would be in after we've eaten a nice big meal at the end of the day and we're relaxing on the couch watching a movie or something like that. So our body will switch in and out of the different states throughout the day depending on sort of what we're doing and what we've consumed and what we're thinking and what we're being exposed to, what's happening in our lives. So the idea is basically if you can use this at any time, but especially if you notice that you've become stressed or if you notice that your kids are sort of anxious about something, this could be a very helpful time to use this breathing exercise. Otherwise, I would also suggest to use this breathing exercise like while you're lying in bed going off to sleep or even in the morning when you wake up, because if we can use this breathing exercise in the morning when we wake up, then it's like we're setting the tone, setting a calm and positive tone for how we want to experience life throughout the day ahead. Now, some breathing exercises we should do, like not after eating or not when we're laying down or something like this, but with this particular breathing exercise, you can do sitting, you can do walking, you can do standing, you can do before you've eaten, you can do after you've eaten. It's basically safe for anyone at any time because it's a mild type of breathing exercise. So I said it's called the balloon breath, and this is probably helpful for kids because if you, even for the very young kids, if you want to try to explain to them what's happening with it, you can just show them the idea of blowing up a balloon. And the balloon is our diaphragm. So with the balloon breath, we'll do it together in a moment. I'll explain it first, but basically you exhale all of the air through your nose. And then when you inhale through your nose, you first try to inhale into your lower belly. And then you hold the breath for a moment, like you're blowing up a balloon and then pausing and stopping. And then you inhale again more into your chest and your upper abdomen area. And then you hold. And then you inhale one more time and you try to fill up your upper chest and your throat. So it's like three times you inhale and then hold. And each time you're getting more and more full, like you're blowing up a balloon. So the parts again are the lower belly and the upper belly, and then the sort of upper belly and the lower chest, and then more like the upper chest and the throat. So you just sort of imagine inhale, hold, inhale, hold, inhale, hold, and then the last time we hold a little bit longer. And then when you exhale, you can either exhale through your nose or through your mouth if that feels better for you. So you only inhale through your nose, but you can exhale through your nose or mouth. And you try to do the exhale really slowly, like if you would normally exhale for a count of four, one, two, three, four, you try to slow it down for a count of more like six to eight. So when you slow down the exhale breath, that will also communicate to your nervous system that you're relaxing. Is that explained pretty clearly, Sandy? Do you think we're ready to go?
I think so.
Okay, awesome. So wherever you are, sit up nice and tall if you're sitting, or if you're laying down, or standing, just try and lift your chest open so that your diaphragm is nice and open. So if you're sitting down, just make sure you're not hunching over because that sort of compresses your diaphragm and it's not as easy to take a deep breath then. So sit up nice and tall, or if you're laying on your bed relaxing, open up. And then you can close your eyes if you'd like to. Exhale fully through your nose. Inhale deeply into your belly. Hold the breath, inhale to your chest, hold the breath, inhale to your throat, hold the breath, and slowly exhale and relax. Inhale to your belly, hold the breath. Inhale to your chest. Hold the breath. Inhale to your throat. Hold. Slowly exhale and relax. Inhale to your belly. Hold. Inhale to your chest. Hold, inhale to your throat, hold, slowly exhale. Inhale to your belly. Hold. Inhale to your chest. Hold. Inhale fully to your throat. Hold. Slowly exhale. Inhale to your belly. Hold. Inhale to your chest. Hold. Inhale fully to your throat. Hold. Slowly exhale and relax. Okay, so that's 5 rounds of the balloon breath that we've just done. Anytime that you do this, either for yourself or with your children, I'll recommend doing a minimum of 5 rounds. You could do up to 20 rounds, but usually 5 to 10 rounds would feel like enough. If you're really stressed out, or if someone in your family or household is really stressed out, then 15 or 20 breaths might be what's needed to really change the function of the nervous system. But usually, yeah, 5 or 10 breaths once or twice a day can be a daily technique that you use. You can't overdo it with this. Like, there's some breathing exercises you need to use sparingly. If you want to do this 3, 4, 5 times a day, there's no problem with it. It's totally safe.
So good, Nat. I feel very chilled.
Good.
Probably the most relaxed I've been on a podcast, that's for sure. Okay, so Nat, I want you to tell us about, so you've recently launched your children's online yoga course, which you were so generous to share with me and my children, and that's why I was like, oh, we got to get you on the podcast to share this with more mothers or parents out there. Do you want to maybe tell us a little bit about your course, what's it about, and how people can access that?
Yeah, sure. So the course is called Essential Yoga for Kids. I decided to film this course almost a year ago now, because I started to see that the learning was happening a lot more online for kids, and I thought, oh, there's already some kids yoga courses out there, why don't I get involved? I've been teaching kids yoga for a long time, and I decided to make my course a little bit different than a lot of what I've seen out there in, like I've already said, presenting yoga to kids in a slightly more serious way, but it's still meant to be sort of playful and enjoyable. It's just that I'm not using big, high, expressive, silly voices and lots of sort of metaphors and games and stuff like that. I'm just sort of focused on teaching the kids the sequences of yoga. So there's around 13 or 14 physical yoga sequences. And in terms of the physical development, each of them is about 5 minutes long, because that's a good length of time to keep most kids engaged in something. And then if they do want to do more, they can sort of do 2, 3, or 4 lessons at a time. But the physical lessons are sort of focused on developing strength and stability and active flexibility in their legs, in their hips, and in their core, and a little bit of upper body sort of core strength as well. Then there's some sequences which are more focused on like relaxation and flexibility, different things like this. And then there's a few that are a little bit more to do with like the movement and the coordination and synchronizing the breathing and the moving. So it's covering a full spectrum of like what yoga can offer to kids. Then we also have some lessons which are focused on the breathwork practices, like the one that we've just learned, and a few others. And then a few lessons on meditation, and then some to do with mantras and affirmations and using sort of positive intentions to help kids to think in positive and constructive ways. So there's all up about 19 or 20 lessons on the course. It's basically timeless content. So for kids from the age of 3 years old up until, you know, 13 or 14, they can still feel that it's relevant. The only reason I would say that it might not seem relevant after that is because the children who are demonstrating in the videos with me are quite young. They're 6 and 8 years old. So no, as kids get a little bit older, they'll sort of be like, oh, this is for young kids. But actually, honestly, the techniques and the skills that are being taught in there are still things that I and all of my adult students use to this day. It's just the way it's presented is slightly in a more condensed form, I suppose. So then there's also a video library with about 90 different instructional videos going over the specifics of how to do the poses. So you get a lot of bang for your buck with the course. It can be for the older kids, like if they're 6, 7, or 8 years old and or a bit older, and they can use digital technology on their own, they can probably go through the lessons on their own. But for the younger kids, for parents, you just sort of press play, and you might need to encourage the kids to follow along and stay involved a little bit. The point is that they will learn the sequences, learn the lessons off by heart, and then eventually they can do them on their own without even needing to follow along with the video lessons. It's all hosted on a website called Thinkific, which is like an online learning platform. And once you join up and become a member to that platform, and once you purchase the course one time, you have lifetime access. So, you know, if you purchase it now, you'll still be able to, for your six-year-old kid, have them following the lessons when they're 9 years old, if they're still interested, which I hope they will be. I think the trick with teaching kids yoga, which I didn't say before, is sort of just letting it be a small part of their lives is better than making it be such a big thing, like the way that they would learn a sport or something that they might do once a week and then sort of practice or play a little bit on their own. It shouldn't feel forced. It should just feel like something that's encouraged, like brushing your teeth or showering or making your bed, just another habit that's part of their life that can sort of help them to grow into good humans.
Yeah, so good. And I have so much gratitude for you, Nat, because I think this is such an important thing to teach our children. And now you're making it easily accessible for a lot more people, which is amazing, truly needed. And we definitely need this stuff in schools too. So, you know, it's something that, like you said, if rather than making it like a big part of their life that's a chore, just, you know, dropping little bits of a yoga, mindfulness, and teaching kids compassion is all they really need to do. Learn how to breathe deeply rather than breathe like a rabbit. You know, it's pretty basic to get the kids to just pick up on some of these great techniques that will be lifelong skills. So thanks so much for all your work that you're doing amongst kids and now, you know, sharing this worldwide.
Thank you, Sandy. Thanks very much. And yeah, I fully agree. I hope the children of the future will sort of practice their breathing exercises and yoga in the morning the same as they brush their teeth and shower and make their beds, you know.
Yeah, so needed. I certainly need to get back into the habit of trying to have a mindful minute with the kids, especially now that they're getting to an age that, you know, it's easier to do that. When they're young and you've got a young baby, it's way more challenging. But as soon as they, you know, 3 years old, sort of upper from that, it starts to become something we can do. It's just, I guess, making it a bit more habitual in our lifestyle.
Yeah, exactly.
And I've certainly detached from my yoga practice. Like when you and I knew each other back in Bangkok, I used to go about 5 days a week to yoga. And yeah, I'm lucky to make it once a week, and sometimes I'll do my own practice, but not as often as I used to. So it's all about, you know, creating these healthy habits and being a good influence for our children as well. So joining in with them. And I did the yoga alongside the kids too, and I felt good. I was like, oh, I know all these poses. This is so good. So, and I enjoyed it more more so than some of the other ones. Because some of the other ones, like you said, are a bit more, you know, like, I guess a lot more colours, a lot more stimulating, all that sort of stuff for me to join in, where yours was, you know, a little bit more authentic. So I did enjoy that. So yeah, once again, thanks, Nat. Where can people find your course?
Yeah, so we have a special offer for your listeners today, Sandy, for any mothers or fathers out there who are listening, or caretakers who would like to purchase the course for their kids. And as I said, you get lifetime access for this. It's about $97, which is probably like 130 or 40 Australian dollars. But today I'm offering a special 50% off that price. So it's very affordable when considering you can have lifetime access. And if you have multiple kids, they can follow along together or at different times. So it's hosted on the website called EssentialYogaForKids.com. So we can share that link somewhere on your post, hopefully. That's EssentialYogaForKids.com. And then when you go to sort of join up and make your Thinkific account and enter credit or debit card details, if you enter in the coupon code SPECIAL50OFF, so special and then the numbers 50 off, you'll get 50% discount on the purchase. So I'd say it's a very, very good deal. And there's also one free lesson up on the website that you can try first, which is called Easy Flow 1. So that's like a short sort of standing sequence. You could do that first to get a bit of an idea of if you are interested in purchasing the full course.
Wow, Nat, that's so generous of you. Thank you so much for doing that. I really hope people kind of tune in and utilize that, because that's very generous of you. Thank you. Is there any last, you know, pearls of wisdom you want to leave with us around yoga for kids, Nat? Because, I certainly know and understand the benefits, and I really hope people listening and tuning in do as well. Anything else you want to leave us with before we wrap it up today?
Yeah, if you're still listening and you sort of don't even get around to looking up the website or anything like that, if you followed along with the balloon breath exercise and you felt like there was some benefit from that, just try doing 5 rounds of that with your kids. It might be a struggle. They might resist and argue, but keep persevering and trying. And I guarantee you, if you can get the children to do 5 rounds of the balloon breath afterwards, they'll tell you that they feel calm, and that's enough indication that what you're doing with them is powerful and helpful.
Yeah, I certainly found the calm after that. Okay. Well, thank you so much, Nat, for once again taking the time out and coming and having this chat with me, talking about kids yoga and the benefits for that, because I just think, once again, it's so important to share this. You know, we're teaching English and maths and all that sort of stuff, and we need to be teaching mindfulness and self-compassion and all these sort of things that can really help to benefit the life skills of these kids that are growing up, these precious beings in this really kind of scary world, really, especially with what's happening today.
I think like one of the best things that, as a final note, about like yoga for adults or for children, is like it can't remove the stresses and the pressures and the sort of negative aspects of reality, but it can give us a really positive sort of coping mechanism and thing that we can use to better navigate the challenges and the stresses of life as they come our way. And it can sort of just give us a way of being more kind and loving and compassionate to ourselves and to others, and to create a sense of inner peace within ourselves that is less susceptible to being disturbed by, you know, the negative aspects of society.
Yeah, definitely. Nat, where can our listeners find you? So you mentioned the Essential Yoga for Kids website. What about your socials?
Yeah, so on Facebook and Instagram, my name on there is not my real name, but it's Nathaniel Simha. So that's Nathaniel, and then Simha, which means lion in the Sanskrit language, Simha. So on Facebook, you just type in Nathaniel Simha, and on Instagram, it's Nathaniel.Simha.
Perfect. Well, thanks again, Nat, for tuning in and sharing your knowledge on yoga for kids. It's been so nice to catch up and chat with you, and I just hope this journey and your mission to spread yoga to children and shift their lifestyles for the benefits of their nervous system is something that goes flows gently, and, you know, people receive it and just take it on board, because obviously you can tell that I'm so passionate about it, and I think it's just one of the biggest missing things in our kids' life. So thank you.
Thanks so much, Sandy. Great to catch up, and we see things the same way.
And here's a little self-advertisement. I am releasing a children's health course in the start of 2022. It's all things naturopathic and Chinese medicine to help raise your children naturally. I go through things about diet, lifestyle, tips and tricks, tools, and bring in some of those traditional practices we love to use to help support children's immunity, growth, and development. I will be releasing this course probably mid-January, so depending on when you're listening to this podcast, but I am offering a discount code called BLOOM, that's BLOOM, and that will give you $50 off the course. So if that is out, please check it out. Otherwise, stay tuned. Thank you for listening. I have been a practitioner of naturopathic and Chinese medicine for over a decade. I have a master's degree of health science, and I am an academic lecturer at Australia's leading natural medicine college. I am available worldwide online for bookings. Simply go to sandyrosshealth.com.